Time to kick off those boots and put your feet up. Crack open a cold one, lay on back, and listen to another episode of Porch Potatoes on the Back 40. Now, good evening, everybody. I'm back here on Porch Potatoes on Back 40 Radio. This is my third show this weekend after that long layoff, and I know I keep pointing that out. That, you know, I was on there, we were doing all kinds of stuff, took a bit of a layoff, COVID. I don't blame COVID. I didn't fall off the porch. Everything is good. I'm back here. I'm sitting in the chair, and immediately beside me, in the chair beside me, I got a guy here who's just made country so much cooler. And I'm just honored to have him on my show. I've had him on Back 40 Radio for so long now, and I'm just honored to have him here. So sitting beside me, Mr. Todd Barrow. Todd, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm so glad to be here. Very exciting to be on your show.
Oh, you know, this is just all about whatever we want to talk about. So, you know, what we should talk about is I mentioned to you before we went on the air that I actually had somebody write me and say, ooh, you got Todd Barrow on tonight. I'm all excited because country's just cooler. And that sort of sent shivers up my spine, and it's your song.
That's amazing. That's just, it blows my mind, people tuning in and listening, and I'm so grateful.
And I'm glad that they're knowing the songs. I mean, people know them, and, you know, so it's funny because there is a commercial on Back 40 Radio that I have that's a station identifier, and Guadalupe River is in that. So there's a little snippet of it.
Oh, cool.
And I should point that out to you. So it plays all the time as well. So there's always another little bit of a snippet that's happening when you're listening. Well, plus we got some corny commercials on there because it's all about fun.
Well, of course you got to have fun, and
there's nothing more fun than country. I should get you to do a voiceover at some point and send me something up and get your voice on there.
Hey, What? I would definitely do. I've done a lot of bumpers and for radio. So, yeah, perfect. Sure will.
That's exactly what we need here on Back 40, because people love to hear voices that are other than mine talking. So it'd be great to have some other voice in there. So with the music and everything that's going on, we got a kind of a weird world here. I mean, COVID has kind of taken a chunk out of us all, and it's kind of moved our music into kind of we've had to really be creative to continue on with what we're doing. Now, where you are, do you find that has there been a real effect to live performances as well? I mean, I'm assuming that it's probably the same.
Yeah. You know, it's the same worldwide, and it's the same here in Texas. And our governors and our mayors and our city officials have tried to, you know, do the best they can to revisit the plan of live venues and music, but it was like at 25%, then 50%. And then all of a sudden, you know, coronavirus rising, you know, shut it down. So,
yeah. And I mean, and it's been hard. We've never navigated before. So people just don't know what to expect.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why we've gone to more live streaming concerts, I'm sure you're aware of Facebook and Instagram and other, platforms.
It seems like about every 15 minutes that somebody's going live, and you never know who to watch. I mean, there's so many different artists, and there's so many great artists out there that have really picked up and jumped into the streaming. But I think sometimes the viewers and the listeners are just, they're just so overwhelmed.
Yeah, it is overwhelming, because you got to really relate to the artist and what's going on and the vision they have and the sound they're producing. And you know, is it something that you want to really follow?
That's true. And I mean, the thing is that, for the most part, I mean, Facebook has been pretty good. And, you know, I know people are streaming on other platforms as well. And YouTube is in there. And a lot of people are trying to, you know, get onto Instagram and do some, you know, just try to hit different spots and try to get, you know, utilize the platform so that they can get as many viewers as they can. But it's a tough one when you've got so many things happening at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. We're in uncharted waters. I mean, it depends on your willingness to commit to the music and the industry and where you want to be, you know, in the times that we're facing right now, and what is it that you have to say?
Oh, I know. What difference can you bring? So I've seen some people be pretty creative in their streams, and they'll add some different things, and they'll add some special features, and you kind of like that, because then they kind of are developing and going just beyond just kind of just singing, and
yeah,
to keep people interested and keep them tuning in.
Right.
Because you're up against guys. I mean, even Zach Brown was on there live a couple of days ago, and Sugarland was on there last week, and they were excellent. And I've seen Brad Paisley, and he's excellent. And so you got so many of these artists, even the big names are jumping out there and doing streams, because they are feeling that sort of separation. They may not experience it on a financial level the way they do this in the same way, but they're feeling that separation from their followers and their fans.
Yeah, it's true. It's touched every level of the music industry, whether you're an amateur or you're a professional, whether you're signed, you're not signed. And it just shows you that there's more opportunities for indie artists really to come out during this time. I would just say that's almost a benefit right now and a great position to be in.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, have you taken the time during this time to say, well, maybe I'll do some writing? Maybe some studio work.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of writing. I was in the studio a couple of weeks ago. I've got a new release out called Fun in Mexico.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Jen Ford, who's no small potatoes by any means, jumped on board with it, and it's just gone gangbusters.
Excellent.
Worldwide.
That is so great to hear. Well, yeah, tell us about Fun in Mexico. I mean, you probably weren't in Mexico, because I mean, there's all this stuff.
Right. Of course. I mean, I had to write like a writer, right? I'm writing a novel. I'm writing a book, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's what artists do. I mean, we take you to where we want to be, you know.
That's right. Even if we can't go there right now.
Yeah. But let me show you what it would look like and feel like if we were there.
That's right.
This moment.
Sit back and picture this, because when it's all over, you can go. And, it's great.
So it was just about escape. You know, I was like, all this pressure and all this political and coronavirus and just anxiety,
so much going on,
frustration, and people are, you know, at their wit's end, you know, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Let's think about a trip. Where, if we could take a trip and just go somewhere, where would we do it? You know?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if I would do it, here's how I would do it, you know? And so here we go. I just start writing this song.
Well, and that's the thing, is music is such an escape for so many people, and they, you know, you use it, to get through situations. So this was the perfect timing to have a song that is, you know, talking about, you know, just, if you can go, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Take them away from that. Like you say, there's so much going on in the world right now. And there's so much that's happening. I mean, COVID being front and center to a lot of it. But it just, people love that distraction. So timing is so good. And I think your timing is bang on.
Well, and I work with some guys that are just incredible musicians. These guys that played with Miranda Lambert. They played on CMT Awards. They played on Jimmy Fallon's show. And my producer and engineer, he's worked with the top names in the industry here out of Texas. And so we just put together a plan, you know, and so it's not just me, you know, I kind of bring the song and kind of the arrangement a little bit of where we want to go with it. And we just kind of sit down and kind of hammer it out, you know,
the
and
support
it just comes
behind.
Out to be. Oh, and then you get the benefit of it on the end of it.
Exactly. No, I mean, man, that's perfect. I mean, Mexico sounds good right about now.
Yes, it does.
And where I am, I'm up on Vancouver Island, so I'm on the west coast of British Columbia, and we're starting to, you know, falls here, and we're starting to head into that, and the days are getting shorter, and the temperatures have gone down, and you're starting to think, boy, I could use a little Mexico right about now.
Well,
yeah, We're a ways off too. Spring's not.
Nothing wrong with Vancouver, I tell you that.
No, it's really nice. Yeah, it is great. And but I just want a little more sunshine right now. It's, yeah. You know, it's over that. Quick, and yeah, but it is part of the year. So, you know, we'll get through this and come out the other side. And hopefully, as we move towards spring, a lot of the COVID things are gone, and your song will be a great, you know, theme for people in the winter to help them get mm-hmm. through.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. Now, is it available already? Is it out?
Yes, it is out. It's available.
We're all fine. A store near you. All the places. All the
digital stores, you know, you name it. It's there.
It's out there. And that's perfect. So everybody's got to give that a listen, you know, and we should, you know, well, before we go any further, why don't we play it here? We just play it and give people a chance to listen. Are you good to stick around for a while? We'll come back out of the other side and.
Yeah, sure.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of Fun in Mexico. So sit back. Close your eyes. Todd's going to take you away to Mexico here on Back 40.
Sick of this job. Sick of this town. Tired of everybody. Ain't got a clue. Forget all of this, man. I've got some things to do. I'm gonna fly an airplane south of the border. Meet some senoritas, modern day explorer. Straight to a bar where some faces cold. Lay out on a beach in the sun. For the fun in Mexico.
I love it. I love it already. And I'm already thinking that, man, Mexico sounds good right now. And so the song's doing well for you. You're saying how well it's doing for you everywhere. Like it's doing well internationally.
yeah, it's just taken off, and everybody's just thinking that this is what we need right now with the current situation we're all in. And it was a timely tune, and different DJs and country fans and just numerous of people have just really been favorable to it and saying, hey, we really just love how you're just presenting your music, you know, from Texas. And I said, well, I'm just writing the way I write. I'm just giving you how it's coming to me, you know,
which is perfect. And as I say, the music that I've gone on back 40 of your music, Todd, I love it. Every single track that I have of yours on back 40 are tracks that I love, and truly I do. And I found them catchy, and I found them just to be the type of songs that go, that are very commercial. They're just a very commercial song, which is what you want. That's really what you want it to be.
Well, yeah. And I fought that battle, you know, between, you know, being organic or being more in tune with the mainstream.
That's the hard part, because they don't always go hand in hand.
Yeah, and staying true to my roots and my creativity and all of that. It's been a battle, but I know what needs to be there. I know how it needs to come out. I guess my secret sauce, like Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know?
That's right. The Colonel's recipe. This is Todd's recipe.
I've kind of figured out my special sauce.
That's right. And you got a jar of it right there, and you every single time.
And so people are like, "What are you doing?" You know, I get all that. Where is this coming from? Or how are you, you know, how are you getting this to sound like this? Or how are your lyrics coming together? How do you write songs?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't even want to know how I write songs. No.
And that's the thing. And you probably find the same thing as me, is that songs don't always form the same way every single time. There's many times that we come at them from totally different angles.
Sure. Absolutely. It's an evolution of energy and emotion and
sure
topics
is.
And content and,
and you sometimes know, you just don't know how something is going to affect you in the way where it's going to inspire you to create a song, and it may not be right away.
Yeah, that's true. And but I will say that most of my material, my music is based on life experiences.
Is perfect. That's why I find mine is too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it. I've gone through it. I'm dealing with it. I've got to work through this, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends sometimes will be like, "You're so frustrated. You're so angry right now." I'm like, they go, "You should write a song." I go, okay.
I'll write a mad one. I'll go home and write a mad one right now.
I'm like a mad scientist in a lab, you know.
You're shaking things up. You're pouring stuff into other beakers, and you're trying to figure it all out, hoping
create the new Frankenstein.
There you go. That's exactly it. And so I find that is just.
Oh, man.
And the worst, I think, the worst though is when you're driving along and you have some great idea and you're thinking, "Oh, man, I don't even have my phone out here to get the voice recorder going so that I can get this idea down."
Oh yeah, absolutely. Or a melody that pops in your head, or there's no way to. Yeah, I get it.
It's sometimes the idea.
Write it down.
What I really find great is when you say something and someone says, "That sounds like a song," and then you go, "Wait a minute,
yes,
I think it does."
I love that. I get that all the time. Actually, that's so funny.
That's a great one, because then you got to try to put the puzzle around that one piece.
Yeah, that's it. It's putting together the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, but it's great. Now, speaking of songs, I have to ask you, because somebody quoted it, is "Country's Just Cooler." Loved it. The moment you sent it to me, I was into the song 20 seconds and I'm thinking, I just love this thing.
Yeah, that's a killer song.
Oh man.
It's one of my favorites too. I got to tell you that. You know, and that's, again, I have to really like it too. You know, if I don't like my own stuff, I
mean, exactly.
Why am I?
You can't
even
believe
doing
in it.
Right?
You can't believe in it if you don't think that, you know, that you don't like it. And that's the hardest thing, is that as an artist, sometimes, and you'll probably experience it as well. I'm sure you have. And is when you're writing a song and you're thinking it's great, and then you get, you know, you get 20 minutes in and then you go, no, and you just blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, sure. There's been songs that I just tear up the paper and I'm just not going to spend any more time on this, you know?
Yeah, because
it was a good idea. But
the first couple of lines blew you away. And then it's like after that, you're thinking, man, is that the bad smell in the room? Is it this song?
Yeah, right.
Something's not right. Yeah.
Something's not right here.
Something's not right.
Like we're moving where we need to go here in this process. So let's make some changes.
That's
so yeah,
true.
I do that quite often. I have a lot of songs that they're not even finished yet, but eventually someday they will be. There's a catalog and someday I kind of come back around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll revisit it and it might be the right season, you know?
And that's the thing. And sometimes it's just a matter of a specific arrangement or a chord structure, and you're right, and you end up starting something, and then you get the words completed, but then the tune doesn't sell you on it anymore, so you go away from it.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to kind of know when it's ready.
That's
it's,
true.
It's in the great stages it needs to be in. So yeah.
Yeah. So country's just cooler. Yeah.
Yeah, man, Country's Just Cooler was a song that you know, I've been to Nashville. I've played in Nashville. I've recorded in Nashville.
Nice.
Got friends in Nashville. I get Nashville. Okay.
Yeah.
I get Nashville, but I've dealt with so many people and so many different radio pluggers and artists and, you know, PR people. And they're like, okay, but you know what? You know, what about so-and-so, the way that sounds, you know? And I'm like, nah, I'm not buying it. What? And I'm like, no, but yeah, but they've got, you know, 60,000 followers and there's this going on and that going. I'm like, yeah, but it's not. Mm-mm. I said, I don't know. I feel like I'm selling out to.
That's the word right there. And I was just about to say that. You don't want to be a sellout. You want to do what you believe.
I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to just throw away anything towards something that I don't even believe in.
That's
I don't even
right.
Like,
yeah.
And they're like, well, but you know, pop is in. And I'm like, if you want it, I guess.
That's right.
But if you want real country, then you're going to have to go back to the roots of where it came from, like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash. And you're going to have to, you know, really study people that were making a living. Just they were working in the coal mines and they'd come out and make music just to make extra money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's get back to the roots of real country, like Loretta Lynn. I mean, come on.
That's right.
And
back to the Patsy Cline's and back to even Willie Patsy Nelson Cline. Before Willie Nelson was, you know, doing his own stuff and all the great songs that a lot of people aren't aware of the great material that he wrote.
Oh yeah. With Elvis. Sure.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, man, I mean, this is stuff that is the very roots.
Yeah.
Of where you and I are.
And even Elvis, you know, he really was, he was kind of in between rock and country.
He sure was.
When you listen to it, you know, you listen to, you know, Blue Kentucky Moon. And I mean, come on. I mean,
you start getting, I mean, In the Ghetto, which was written by, of course, the masterful late Mac Davis.
Yeah.
Just an excellent song. But that song
there. Mac Davis is sensational.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Sorry, he's passed.
But but just masterful with what he did. And I mean, but his song, like In the Ghetto, I mean, Elvis did that, and that was just an epic song. It did really, really well.
Yeah, magical.
See, country went back to that. I mean, Elvis went back to that when he moved into the 70s and he was, you know, getting into his late 30s. He started to lean a little bit more, towards much of that country stuff.
Yeah, he was kind of getting out of that rockabilly and. But I understand, you know, there in Memphis and how that, what the scene he was in.
That's right.
Those influences, why you would move in that direction.
Oh, a lot of blues there too in Memphis, man.
B.B. King. And,
And
I've been there too on Bell Street, man. That's a fun place.
I mean, I've heard that there's just some, if you go to the, you know, you go to see live bands down there and you're not going to see any better blues anywhere else.
No, that's true. Memphis barbecue too.
Oh man, barbecue. I'm going to get down there for that.
Yeah.
So bring the guitar, have some barbecue.
A lot of history, but I just felt like I needed to make a stand. I feel like I needed to say, okay, here's where I'm drawing the line. You want to know where I stand. Y'all want to know how I feel about all this. as a Texas country artist because everybody keeps asking me about it. So I'm going to write a song, and this is so you can get it very clear to your, you know,
absolutely your perfect. You put that absolutely perfect.
This is it. So if you want to know where I stand in country music, there you go.
You know, it's funny because even when I do live shows, I'll get them, you know, I'll get folks that are coming up to me that are 19 and 20 and 21 and 22. And they'll say, you know what I really like is you play real country.
That's
great. And they'll, that's will be what they want. And it just goes to show you that it transcends all the different ages. It's not just about, you know, that it's folks over a certain age or wherever, but there's still people that are out there that love the music because they love the roots of it and they love what country really is.
Yeah, the origin. Yeah, the history and the spirit behind it.
Man, yeah. So it's the stories. Yeah. You know, do we
lose
stories? You don't want to lose the stories.
No, that's what I mean. Willie said, you know, about three chords and the truth, and you got a country song. So
helps if your dog dies too or something, but no, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, it's and I love to write those songs, and I do have a number of those songs that I've written, and the story, and people identify with it because it might be something that they experienced or something they know somebody who experienced something similar to it, and that's when it touches them.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's really trying to reach somebody and their war, you know, their mentality or where they've been, their experiences, you know, and hopefully I always say, you know, I really want my music to make a difference, you know, to really bring you out of something and bring you into something.
I agree. I agree. Yeah. So, you know what I think we should do right now is because we've talked about it and I love it. And then it gives me a chance to play it is I think I'm just going to play Country's Just Cool. You good to stick around for a bit more?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, okay. Well, sure. Let's play Country's Just Cooler. And everybody, right. if there's anybody, who, I mean, if you listen to Back 40 Radio at any time, you're going to know this song. It's out there all the time. So for those who don't, this is Todd Barrow's Country's Just Cooler. And give it a listen. I know you're going to like it. I'm Back 40.
To a top 40 station playing hiccup, you know what I mean. But there ain't nothing like a back roads tune wearing your favorite blue jeans. I've heard all kinds of sounds, but the sound I love the most is a steel fiddle bending strings in the middle. Raise your glass now for a toast. Raise them up. Take me back to the days of Hank and Hagger, George Jones, Waylon, blue collar boots, stomping smoke you pull off, cold beer in a bottle. Stars in the universe, country's just cooler.
You know, every time I hear that song, I mean, it's on Back 40. I mean, I've got it in the directory so I can play it when I want to play it. And, but I just love it. And it's funny, after talking about it and the message that, you know, hearing the reason why you wrote it and, you know, almost making a stand that this is, you know, this is what I'm trying to tell you folks, is this is who I am. And that's just really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's, You got to be true to yourself, and you got to really stick with it. You can't try to be somebody else you're not, because if you try to do that, you're gonna fail.
Yeah, it always fails.
It always fails. I mean, you got to be the real McCoy, you know.
And that's the thing, is you see so many artists that are out for any length of time, and people, they have a huge following, more commercial artists that come out and people love them and they get used to this sound. And then all of a sudden they want to change. And then you see a lot of their fans go, oh, well, yeah, I like their stuff from this album and before, but not so much now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you abandon what works and you move to something that is not really what they want to hear. And, you know, and it really does shake it up.
Well, you know, and there's a lot to be said about the music industry and who's in charge of it.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
I mean, where are we going? What's the plan?
There's a lot of people in ties and suits that are you know, and the artists don't get to be who they want to be or who they really are.
Yeah, unfortunately, that corporate strand puts a strain on artists and the creativity process as well. So
it's true.
And then there's a lot of guys and gals, they don't even write their own songs.
No, and that's a surprising thing. I mean, the thing is me. I mean, sometimes you're going to be playing stuff that other writers have written, but there's nothing more satisfying than sitting down and writing a song, and when it's complete and going, oh, I love this, and then playing it for a crowd and getting that response back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fulfilling. It's a real connection. And, you're playing outside of the rules basically of modern, or I wouldn't say modern, but of the mainstream.
You're right. Many don't write their own music anymore. The staff writers everywhere.
Oh God. I mean, in Nashville, it's it's almost, it's just really competitive. Of even songwriting's gotten competitive. It's not just about the artist.
No,
it's about the songwriters, the producers, the, you know, which artist is going to get what, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Which publishing company is going to be, you know, involved with it, it's just a big whirlwind of people that they're not even concerned about the music.
That's right. It's got nothing to do with that anymore. I was talking to
the product.
Yeah, that's right. I was talking to somebody through the Songwriters Association of Canada, which is an organization up here.
And yeah, I'm familiar with that. Sure.
And they had a gentleman who was out of Nashville. He's an industry guy. And I can't remember, his name escapes me at the moment, but you could sign up and you could have an hour to kind of chat with him and kind of, you know, pick his brain about music and whatnot. So I had a good chance to talk with him for a while. And he was saying that that many of those who are in the industry were so disappointed with where the industry was going. And one of the things that he was very concerned about, not quite the word I'm looking for, but something that he felt was disappointing to him, was there are so many songs that are sitting out there, but because they're more of a 90s or before styling, people won't touch them. And he says there are some incredible songs that if it had been 2004, it had been 1992 or whatever, those songs would have been mainstream and would have been big hits.
That's true. It's in those eras. I know that's true. I even know radio stations. There's radio stations, they won't play anything unless. They won't play. No, they're focused on. They won't play any new country music, but they'll play old country music.
Yeah.
Yeah, and from you know what like 70s to 90s.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not bad at all. I have no problem with that.
No, me neither. And he was saying Alan Jackson, like he says, Alan Jackson, you know, is big and as huge as Alan Jackson is great. I mean, the guy's got a catalog that is just absolutely exceptional. But he said that even Alan Jackson, he can't get, you know, radio play on the mainstream stations because they're looking at the newer styling. So he doesn't get radio play. I mean, he still is doing, you know, fine and still, I guess, selling as where he sells. He's got a massive fan base, but he says that's disappointing. Whereas George Strait was able to reinvent himself, and that helped George Strait because he always stayed top of frame.
That's true. That's very true. Alan Jackson did he created this, image and sound and his catalogs that kind of kept him where he is, and that's true.
And you know, I think that and that was being true to himself. He didn't sell out. He kept Alan Jackson's sound's been Alan Jackson.
Oh no,
and I love it.
No, he didn't. But I don't think George Strait did either. I think George Strait was just smarter.
He just did it a little differently, but he didn't lose his sound. It was still George Strait.
Oh, George Strait's never lost his sound. He's always been the true country to me.
That's why he's the king.
Yeah. And Blake Shelton said he was king of country the other day. And I was like, are you kidding me? Really? Have you met George Strait?
Careful now. Yeah. I love Blake Shelton. I love Blake Shelton, but
I do too. I played at his bar in Oklahoma.
But you start looking at the big names that are out there, the George Straits, and you go back and beyond there, and there's just careful calling, labeling yourself as the king of country.
Oh my, no, it's dangerous, and I just, you know, that's the kind of thing that just really gets, you know, I can't believe he's making statements like that unless Stefani is behind making him want to
maybe. But you know, you never hear Garth Brooks ever say that he's the king of country. And I mean, you look at Garth Brooks and you say, with success and where he is, if there's anybody who might be able to kind of lay claim to it,
sure.
But he would never do that. And it's not, you know, he looks and says, and Garth Brooks is the first one to credit the other ones and say, oh man, this is where I look.
Well, and those that helped him get there.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so it's, what a difference.
What yeah. Difference. It's a, and there's a lot of dynamics to really work through.
Hey, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Blake Shelton. I mean, he's outstanding.
I love Blake Shelton stuff. He's I'm not saying Blake stuff. Shelton's not good. Blake Shelton's, he's great. He's awesome. I love his music.
Yeah.
But I don't like his, when he, you know, begins to kind of take that stand and instead of being a supportive role, you know, exactly.
I mean, Blake Shelton, there's no doubt he's a huge name, but I think that, you know, you've got to have some kind of a, you gotta be sort of humble in that way and say, listen, you know, if it wasn't for artists like George Strait and Garth Brooks and Hank Williams,
there would be no me. There you go. There you go. That's beautifully put. That's beautifully put. That's exactly what he should say.
That's it.
That's award winning right there.
Man. Yeah. The fact that I'm able to be on a stage where they once were, man, I am humble as pie.
There you go.
You know, that's just how it is. Now, you know,
that's the right attitude.
I got to ask you. Now, growing up, you go back to all the years, you know, before that, you know, music really became, and I know that you're probably like me, where music's always been a part of everything that you do all the way through. But when you think back to the beginning, who are your influences? Who are those guys that you said, oh man, I want to be doing what they're doing?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up in a musical family, we always had music playing around the house,
which is perfect.
My mom was always singing. She did a lot of jingles in studios. My dad was a choir director at a church. Wow. And so, you know, I had the opportunity to really get kind of engulfed in music. And there was a lot of gospel singers. And, of course, Elvis Presley was huge. I had all his albums. I had all the Eagles albums, if you want to. I'm about rock and roll.
I'm with you on both those fronts.
So, you know, there was, and of course, my mom's favorite was Buddy Holly. She loved Buddy Holly, man, out of Texas. And just
how big
just
would how big would Buddy Holly have been if it wasn't for that plane crash? Because I mean, that guy was so talented.
Oh, he was on fire. He was.
And I mean, he was only what? He was only like 23 or 24. And he already had like just a ton of hits.
Yeah. And Waylon Jennings was on that plane. And if it weren't for all of that, Waylon Jennings wouldn't be where he's at.
Well, that's it. Well, that's always an interesting story that you bring that up. And I segue off into something else. Todd, pull me.
He was a DJ, you know?
Yeah. And so you think that he ended up with Buddy Holly, and then what happened with that, with the Richie Valens thing, gave up his seat on the plane. And it's such an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I've grew up around it and performing at an early age in front of audiences and just taking, you know, all kinds of instrument lessons. And
so it's ingrained.
Kind of groomed. Kind of groomed.
Yeah. It's deep. It's there.
Yeah. It's there. And I try to get away from it sometimes, you know, cause people are like, oh gosh, don't you just love to sit down and do this or do that, or, you know, write a song or go.
Or when you go somewhere and someone says, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Did you bring your guitar?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's this, it just, it's like you, it never gets away from you. You're like, I just want to talk. I just want to hang out. I don't want to do music right now. You know, I mean, not that I don't want to do music, but I just want to get to know people and hang out with some people and just, you know, what's going on in your world? What's your name? Where are you from?
But inevitably the guitar comes out and you play a little bit, and then you look around the room and you see the people's faces and how much they're loving it. And you go, yeah, you know, really, this really does bring it all together.
Yeah, it does. And it's all worth it.
But like you say, we can never completely escape it, because it's so much a part of what we do.
Yeah. But that's the goal. I mean, that's the gym. That's the, you know, that's where you find the reward, when people can really get it, or they're touched, or they're like motivated, or they're like, yeah, you know. And I remember Bob Dylan said one time, he said, you know, put a hat in the road and start playing music, and if people start putting money in it, he said, keep doing it, then you need to be doing it.
You're doing it right. You're doing it right. If people are paying attention and doing that, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And it's very hard. And it's getting harder to do now, I think, because we're so saturated with so many things.
Yeah, it's
but it's true. I mean, your influences are wide varied. I mean, you go everywhere from Elvis to the Eagles and all the way through the gamut of all the.
Well, of course, Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings and Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton and Billy Joel.
Oh, man. There you go. Billy Joel.
You know, I mean,
your list is like mine. It's massive and it goes wide.
It's exactly right. And I try to explain that to some, they're like, well, he must be all country artist. And I'm like, no, that's how I present it. But there's a lot of influences behind it.
Well, that's the thing. Come look at my playlist and you'll go, really? You've got some Joe Walsh in there. Well, of course I got Joe Walsh in there. Why wouldn't I have Joe Walsh in there?
Yeah.
But then they look again and they say, well, you got the Black Crowes in there. Of course, I got the Black Crowes in there. Why wouldn't I have the Black Crowes in there? But you got
Leonard Skinner.
I got some Skinner in there. Yeah, I've got 38 Special in there. I've got some John Denver in there. I mean, you got that variety. That's what goes. We take all of that in as writers and musicians, and we take all those influences and we bring them into our stuff.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And it helps to shape what we do. And you know, and I love all that stuff. And I listen to that Sirius XM all the time, and I like to listen to different stations. And so I'm not always tuned into Prime Country or the Highway or whatever it is. I'm listening to all these different stations.
Mm-hmm,
depending on what you feel like. Sometimes you go, hey, I need some 70s music here to kind of get me home.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But on the way out, I was listening to Ozzy's Boneyard. So it's like,
right?
It just all depends on what it is and what time of the day it is. And you know, what exactly is running through your blood. if you're having a bad one, you want to hear music that's going to be reflective of that. So I think that, you know, talking about the different influences, I think, man, that is great.
Yeah.
Now, did you start playing country? Did you originally, when you started off doing all of that, were you playing more of like playing some rock, like maybe playing some of the Eagles type stuff. And I mean, that's where I cut my teeth a lot, was a lot of music like that.
Well, you know, I started I was in high school. I had a high school band and we were doing a lot of rock and roll. And it was kind of like Bryan Adams, you know, summer of 69, you know.
Of course.
And of course, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's had some great stuff.
He's outstanding. Moving on from there, I kind of moved more into pop, contemporary, you know, gospel. I mean, I kind of tried my, I actually was in a studio had an opportunity to meet a guy who was arranging for Michael Jackson and Chaka Khan.
Wow.
And he was an artist out of New York in Dallas. And I just happened to be at the studio one day. And because I was doing more contemporary stuff with Word Records, and I was also consulting with Charlie Peacock, who he's produced numerous people. He's worked with U2 and all kinds of people.
Wow,
and so, so this was part of my journey, you know, and just things that happened along the way. And this, his name's Bernard Wright, but he was out of New York and he was doing an album, and he said, hey, he goes, do you want to work with me on this project? And I said, I don't know. Why do you want me to? He goes, I just feel like you, there's something about you, man. He goes, I need you on this project. Man. So I started working with him, and he produced a record. I think it was off of Regency Records or something. and it just went, and I was doing like background vocals and doing some instrumental or keyboard stuff for him. You know, his career took off, you know, and I'm just kind of in the background, you know, just enjoying doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
just being part of that project.
Yeah. Just to be a part of a project,
man,
just to be pulled in, you know, for off the street. But anyway, so just, you know, it's just things like that kind of, you're like, It's a book being written about your life, you know.
No, it sure is.
Chapters, right?
It sure is. And so, you never know where the next one's going to go.
Yeah.
We look and we go, man, I didn't see this one coming.
No, and that's the thing. You got to be open. You know, you just got to be ready. You know, mm-hmm. You got to and just say, okay, is this something I want to do? Is this something I don't want to do? Is this, you know, what is my heart telling me to do? You know, in this moment here. But fast forwarding towards the country scene, I was at Cook Children's Hospital, which is a hospital in Fort Worth for children. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and there was a thing going on with American Idol. There was a guy, he was one of the contestants for American Idol, and no one knew how to set up the sound. And so I said, well, where's your sound closet? And so they showed me. So I started kind of taking inventory and pulling out all the stuff, you know, and I kind of set him up by a piano, and I got him set up and a sound check and everything. And he finally was like, oh man, thank God you're here. He goes, thank you so much for helping me. He goes, I didn't know who was going to be here to do this. Well, about 5 minutes later, this guy comes scooting down the hallway, and he goes, Where's the American Idol guy? Where's he at? And I go, oh, he's over there. He goes, he needs a sound check. Is anybody? I said, it's already done. We're taken care of. He's good. He goes, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Todd Barrow. Who are you? He goes, I'm Sonny Burgess. I'm in charge of this thing. And I go,
from where I'm standing, okay, it doesn't look like you are.
Well, if you get to know him more, yeah, we it was like a Kramer in a Seinfeld episode.
Oh,
you know,
man.
You know, kind of scene.
Bursting in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, does he have the wild hair?
Oh, yeah, kind of. And so from that point on, he's like, he goes, we need to meet. And I go, okay. He goes, I know. He goes, seriously, we need to meet for coffee. And I go, okay. He goes, I'm working on a bunch of stuff here at the hospital. I want you to help me with. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into. Honestly, I really didn't. He's the director of special arts at the hospital, and he was this big country star. He's in the Texas Music Hall of Fame and all this stuff.
Wow.
He was, he was in charge of putting in this studio and this TV production thing. And of course, my dad had done TV production back in the day, and I was very familiar with that. I'm familiar with studio work. I understand how the process works, acoustics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Garth Brooks and Troy Aikman were funding this money for, they called the Child Life Zone. So I had I was a part of that. I was a part of all the blueprints and looking at everything. And
oh, incredible.
Yeah, incredible. Exactly. I'm like, man, are you kidding me?
So how long did it take you to catch your breath after all that?
Oh, quite a few days, you know, and still just walking on a cloud, you know,
Yeah.
Every time. So then that's what kind of started meeting all these big names and Hollywood stars and, you know, and I mean, my head just spinning, you know.
I can imagine.
And then he finally one day he sat down and he goes, "You ever considered doing country music?"
Thinking about it now.
I said, "No." He goes, "You should." I said, "Well, why?" He goes, "Because you're from Texas." I said, "That's true, right?"
Is that the only criteria?
Well, you know.
And it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. It's just been divine. It was just providence. I don't know what you want to call it. It was.
Oh, man. Well, it always had that right time, right place. And, you know, and everything was, you know, as they say, the stars are aligning and things like that. And that really was, I mean, perfect timing on your part. And the fact that you had that knowledge and the know-how to get that performance going.
Yeah. And I was already done. I was done with the music. I'm telling you, I was done with the music business, the industry. I wanted out because I was just, you know, there was just too much I'd seen behind the scenes. I was like, I just want to go do a normal job.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't need this anymore. The headaches and all of the stuff that goes with it.
Right. And,
you know, even sometimes now you probably get that feeling some days that you go, oh, you know, sometimes I'd like to leave this behind.
Yeah, some days I just want to sell Slurpees at 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
you know,
and just go there and not have to worry about it and leave at the end of the day and not have to take anything with me.
Yeah.
Except the Slurpee that you're taking home.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've since realized that it's going to be with me till the end. So
which is perfect. I mean, you're putting music out there when people are writing into me and saying, country's just cooler when they know you're coming on there. That means a lot. Yeah. When I saw that, I was, and I replied back and said, that is perfect.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm so glad people respond like that. I love that. I want to hear people's feedback and response. I make myself available. I'm not one of these guys that shuts himself off.
No, I mean, every time you and I have emailed back and forth throughout the time, and any time that we're back and forth, it's always, you know, it's great communication. So I got to say that. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I'm glad people that are listening and people that are enjoying it and realizing that country's just cooler.
Because yeah, that's
why we're here. That's why
it's definitely cooler.
Yeah. You know,
I guarantee it.
Oh man. And it's fun. And, you know, people, it's funny how now and over the last say 25 years, how the demographics for the age of the country fans has moved so that now the, you know, you have people that are in their early teens that are country fanatics and are loving that type of stuff. And I mean, I realize that a lot of it has to do with that. You know, the pop scene has kind of drifted over in a lot of ways, but I get so many that come up to me and they know, you know, songs by Brooks and Dunn, they know the words to, you know, and they're great asking guys for, you know, Reba McEntire, and they're asking for iconic figures that aren't necessarily, you know, on the radio today in a capacity where they're heard all the time, like some of the artists that are more common on the sort of the top 40 country stations now.
Yeah, yeah. Sammy Kershaw. I mean,
oh man, Sammy Kershaw. Yeah. I mean, Third Rate Romance, which he did as a remake, but still his rendition is fantastic.
Doug Stone.
There you go. Little houses. And yeah, I mean, just great stuff. I mean, I was talking to somebody about that the other day and I said, you know, it's, you know, what happened to some of these artists that Rick Trevino, I loved Rick Trevino in the 90s or late 90s. He had some great stuff. And then all of a sudden it's just, you don't see it anymore.
Yeah, they're kind of faded out.
They have Colin Ray.
Phased out.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, and then when you look them up, you go, okay, well, they're still out there doing things.
Yeah, Keith Whitley.
Keith Whitley. Yeah. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. he passed away, but there was another guy who, but his song, his, mm-hmm. his most iconic song
mm-hmm.
is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we still have the Kenny Chesneys and we still have the, you know, the Jason Aldeans and the Luke Bryans mm-hmm. And whatnot. And, but, you know, all those artists that were so good that we listened to, that we were influenced so heavily by only 20 years ago. I mean, you mentioned Joe Nichols. I love Joe Nichols.
I do too. He's a good friend. And,
His music. I mean, I've performed Crickets. I've done, yeah, I've done, you know, so many songs that he had brought out. And I love his
Sunny and 75.
Oh, that's man. And what I loved about him is that
Broken Heartsville.
Oh, right there. And he's authentic, the impossible, all the different things that he did. And they're authentic. And even when you went forward and you released a Christmas album, it was very country Christmas. And it's like, man, that guy,
yeah.
he's doing it right.
Well, like Steve Warner, I think was one Steve of Warner's his influences. Another guy. Yeah. Steve Warner.
Our player. Amazing guitar player, amazing vocalist. He had some beautiful songs. Well, Clint Black was another guy that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't hear about Clint Black, you know, much. It sort of faded out, but I loved his stuff all the way from, you know, way back all the way to the things that he was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, wow. But that, you know, you and I are holding the light for these things because that music is still valid and it's still, people still want to hear it.
Absolutely. You know, they people, do. They just need a way to do it.
They do. I think that indie country and places like Back 40, we give them that. Because in indie country, I think, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think some of the best country sound anywhere on this planet resides in indie country.
I believe it.
And I think that, you know, when they listen in, I get submissions to Back 40 all the time. And there's actually a couple of artists that have sent me things in the last week or so. And I listen and I'm like, man, that's so early 1950s, but do they ever do it great?
Sure, yeah.
And then I love it. They've got that real, real old sound. And I'm thinking, you know what? Wow, it blew me away. And it's on Back 40. So if you're looking for something, go there because that just proves that country's just cooler.
Hey, it's right here.
It's right there. Yeah. And that's exactly it. Now I have to touch on you before we finish up here, because my favorite song of yours is Guadalupe River.
Yeah.
There's something about the song. I love the first time I ever heard it, the guitar, the way the guitar riff plays, the whole song, it's just been one. And I told you, I used it on a Back 40 station identifier because I just love the tune. Tell me about that song, because I gotta know.
Well, yeah, and it gets a lot of good reviews around the world. It's still hot on the charts, believe it or not. And people love it in every kind of language there is around the country, you know, and other countries, which is just blows my mind that the song's about a river here in Texas, you know, Bronzeville. And I had a chance to go down there one day, a weekend, with some friends. And you rent a tube and you get in the tube, and then you have another tube where you put your cooler in the tube. Then you can take a fishing rod where you can fish if you want to.
Oh, so, man.
I was like,
I got to go down to the Guadalupe River, Todd.
And it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful river. I mean, it is just gorgeous in New Braunfels, right outside of Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And you're on this river with all these people, and there's a lot of college people, and they're just getting crazy. You know, I mean, girls floating on a bed, you know, and you're like throwing you jello shots and what, you know,
it's a perfect thing to write a song about.
I was like, this is an experience, you know, and I was just trying to just take it all in, you know.
I knew there was a reason why I love this song, Todd. I was, now that I know the background. In.
Yeah, it's just a party, man. I mean, just
girls on inner tubes. Oh, man.
Oh, just, I mean, it's, it was for, you know, when you hear everything in that song, it's for real. I mean, we're drinking out of solo cups, you know.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Thanks to Toby, that's country as it gets.
Yeah. So man, a great experience, great time. Just, just floating down the river, you know, and I was like, I gotta really write something good about this. So I got back home and I just took out a piece of paper and I started just kind of thinking about, you know, how it all started. So yeah. When you hear the song, it's just like from beginning to end. I mean, it's just like, okay, from here's how we started and here's where we end on it, you know?
No, and I just love it. It's just a song that since the first time you ever sent it to me, it's just been one that I just absolutely love.
I love it. That's great because it's one of my favorites. It's always asked for, requested every time I've gone out live. They're like, you got to do Guadalupe River. But of course, going into the studio, my friend set it up and I walked in the studio and there's Miranda Lambert's guitar and all her stuff and from touring. And I'm like, what is this doing here? This pink stuff in the middle of the hallway. And I go in and they're like, hey, this is Todd. This is the guy that wrote this song. And they're like, whoa, man. So I meet these guys and they're like, man, we love this tune. We couldn't wait to play on it. And I'm like, well, who are you guys? They're like, oh, we're on tour with Miranda Lambert. I go,
oh, man.
What?
Oh, man. Yeah, that is.
And they said, no, dude. And she likes it, too. And we're going to do this song. And it's going to be awesome. And she's going to put it on her playlist.
Like, oh, man. That is like, yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. And I looked over at my friend Tanner and I said, man. He goes, I felt like you needed just a little shot in the arm, you know.
That's right. Pinch me. I want to know. Am I sleeping this or what's going on?
I just wanted to get maybe, you know, kind of give your music career a little bit of launch here. So here we go. Man.
That is outstanding.
So that's how it all came about.
Oh, man. Now I'm even more impressed with the song because I'm like, I loved it right from the get go.
Oh, and these
Miranda's
guys are
loving
amazing.
It too. And that,
oh, yeah. It's for real, you know. And
was that a release this year or was it a 2020 release or?
No. Guadalupe River was released in, I think, 2017, I believe.
Okay, so it goes back a few years, but man, it holds its own.
It goes back. Yeah, that was one of the first experiences I had to get into this Texas country flow. So. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm loving it. It's still floating and holding its own. I'm going down that river. It's still,
that's great.
Still a song that I just, yeah, it's outstanding. So man, I have to play that. You know, I'm going to play that as we go out here at the end of the show because I love it and because I want to hear it again. So I'm going to play it and lock it in there and let everybody else hear it as well. And, you know, I got to say that you have been such a great guy to have on Porch Potatoes. And
wow.
You know, I'd love to have you back. I want to have you back and we're going to do the video show. I'd love you had to be part of that. I want to have you be, you know, part of this going forward and keep, you know, you're just one of those guys that you're living it and you're loving it. And you can sense, man, that it is you.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And so we'll
love to do it.
Oh, that is perfect. Yeah. We'll keep the ball rolling. And, you know, we got to come back because you and I could talk like for 8 hours. Like we could just keep
going. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It'll be like one of those 8-part series. You have to tune in every week to get the next part.
Like a podcast.
It really, you know what? And I actually back 40, I think I'm going to Porch Potatoes is going to become going to have a podcast as well. So I'd love to have you join me.
That'd be great. Yeah, I think it should.
Come and be on there. And we can talk about all kinds of different things, have a topic and just carry away with it. I think it would be really great. But you know, so I'll keep you informed on all of that. And but I thank you for coming in today. I know that the listeners on Back 40 Radio love Todd Barrow.
So glad to be here. I hope they do. Love to be a part of this and all the listeners out there for your time and listening. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. And when they're writing me and telling me that Todd Barrow's coming on because country's just cooler, that says a lot. That's like, man, quoting the guy's song, like that is like the coolest thing.
That's an honor. Yeah. That I'm very honored. Way. Very flattered.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, man, I got to share that with you.
Very sweet.
Just too good.
Good stuff.
You know, I think that we're going to have you back. We got to have you back and come back on. And because you're saying you got a new album coming. Is that going to be 2021?
Well, I'm actually working on a Christmas tune.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
you got to get me the Christmas song for Back 40 when it's done. Cause I want to gather in the Christmas songs and have them ready to go.
Yeah, I sure will. I just finished writing it. The guy's ready to go here in a couple of weeks, and it'll be my first Christmas song I've ever done.
So. Oh, I love it. Well, maybe there'll be a time coming up. Maybe you and I can get to work together on a project. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
We can share a stream. Maybe we can figure out something we can do together musically and have a little bit of fun with that too. And
collaborate. Yeah.
I'd love it. Cool. So let's do that as well. So there you go, Back 40 listeners. There's so much coming up. And Todd's going to be front and center, as he always is here on Back 40 Radio. You hear his songs all the time, and he's not going anywhere. In fact, get ready. There's going to be a Christmas song at some point here too, which I'm excited about. And I'm looking forward to hearing that as well. So, but listen, Todd, thank you for coming and being part of this today. It was an absolute pleasure to sit here and have a chat with you all this time.
Right back at you, man. I've enjoyed it myself, and just a good feeling here.
Oh,
very good stuff.
It is a lot of fun, and we're just going to keep pushing this forward. Indie country. This is tomorrow's country music. It's today's country music, but it's even more so tomorrow's music. And it's going to be reflective of all the years of great country music that has influenced and inspired it.
So yes, sir.
Great. But I want to thank the listeners for listening in. And before we go, as we go out of here, I'm going to play you guys Guadalupe River, because this is my, I mean, I love all of Todd's songs, but this one is just my favorite. Now that I know the story, I'm going to be visualizing the Guadalupe River and what's happening down there. And I'll just let it play. But listen, everybody, I'm going to thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again for another episode of Porch Potatoes here on Back 40.
Catching a buzz with my friends. Yeah, it's been a long week. Time to let my troubles go. Take it fast, take it slow on the Guadalupe River. Margarita mix in my truck. Red Solo Cup. Girls in bikinis swaying to the radio. That's right. Rainbow trout hooked on a line. Let's roam. Think I'll drink me a cold one. Bacon in the hot sun. Floating down the river. Catching a buzz with my friends. Yeah, it's been a long week. Time to let my troubles go. Take it fast, take it slow on the Guadalupe River.